Well, we have a new series starting the new year, and this series is called New You. We're calling it New You. And so this morning, we're starting off the first Sunday of the new year together, which is good. You guys made it. You're one for one this year. I'm really proud of you. I think we're, right now we're batting 1,000, all of us in this room. So next week, come back, it'll be 2 for 2. It'll be even better. But we're starting off the new year together, and this is the perfect time to look back at the past and ask what we can learn from what we've lived through this year. And it's also a perfect time to look ahead and ask ourselves if we're living the kind of life that God wants for us, or are there areas that we could possibly improve upon? And my guess is that we wouldn't have to look very long to find a few things that could draw us closer to God in 2025. I'm sure you've heard the saying, new year, new me. Anybody heard it? Oh, thank you guys. Goodness sakes. All right, wake up. Anybody heard that saying before? Okay, good, 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 good. So this is the time of year when people make all kinds of resolutions, and usually they don't last until the end of January. In fact, January 10th this year is Quitter's Day. Have you ever heard of Quitter's Day? Anybody heard of Quitter's Day? Okay, I'm just learning about this. So Quitter's Day is the second Friday in January. And the reason it's called Quitter's Day is because this is the day that most people give up on their, specifically on their fitness resolutions for the year. So you see, this is very easy to calculate nowadays because everyone uses fitness apps. And so a company was able to compile data from these apps and see that the second Friday in January is the day that most people quit their new fitness resolutions. So on that note, how many of you have made resolutions this year? No, not even bothering. Good, we've got a couple. Good. How many of you have already broken those resolutions 5 days in? You don't have. Okay, good. Thank you for being honest. It's all right. There's always next year, right? And if you haven't, right, all you have to do is make it to January 11th, and you'll be better than most people. Resolutions are really a funny thing because you could decide to change or do something new at any minute of any hour of any day. But for whatever reason, there's something about starting fresh in a new year that motivates people to change. Whatever the reason, resolutions are very popular to start off the year. And we're going to look at some of the most popular ones together for a minute today. According to Google, the top 5 most popular New Year's resolutions of 2025 are as follows. Number 5, learn to cook or learn some new recipes. Number 4, save more money. Number 3, take up a new hobby. Number 2, travel more. And you guessed it, number 1, lose weight, be more fit, or exercise, right? That's always the thing. Now, these are pretty good resolutions. However, I'm not here to shame you, whether you've set a resolution and already failed or if you didn't set one at all. We're going to look at a few different ways we can become new in this new year through reassessing some aspects of our relationship with Jesus and then how we live that out in the world. So today we begin this new series called New You, and we'll look at 4 different areas that we could make simple changes in order to experience God's fullness for our lives. And we'll evaluate our priorities and then our relationships and our choices and our witness. And so today we're going to open ourselves up to dive in and examine our priorities in the new year together. Now, priorities are a huge part of our lives. Whether you realize it or not, you are prioritizing things constantly, all the time. You prioritize things like hygiene by getting up and brushing your teeth or taking a shower or washing your hands, especially after using a public restroom, right? Hygiene is a priority in our lives. You prioritize food by buying groceries or cooking or going out to a restaurant. You prioritize money by going to work or owning a business or having a savings account or building a 401k. You prioritize relationships by checking in with people and planning to spend time with others. And you prioritize rest by setting aside time to sleep and taking Sabbath and planning out a vacation. We make decisions every day toward priorities. The tough part about prioritizing is that we're not always good at it, right? Have you ever been told that you need to get your priorities straight? Just me? Okay, good. Yeah. Or maybe you've been told, you know, maybe at work, this needs to be a priority, right? Make this a priority. The problem is we don't always pick the right things to set as priorities. I'm sure you've seen these rocks, and I'm going to do my absolute best to not dump these all over the place. So bear with me. But I'm sure you've probably seen this this done before, but it's a visual that I think is pretty good and is a good example of what priorities are like. So our lives are all made up of priorities like these rocks. Some of them are larger stones, right? Like our relationship with Jesus or our family or our work or church responsibilities or exercise. And there's really, the list can go on and on. There's lots of important priorities. And then other parts of life are made up with smaller priorities like these smaller rocks that are things like watching sports or eating out at restaurants or hobbies or vacations or Netflix or whatever else you decide is something you'd want to do, but maybe we don't need that to survive, right? That's not necessarily a need. So those are these smaller rocks. And the question is, if we have our priorities in proper order, then our lives are a little more balanced. If we were to fill this container with the little stones first, the large stones are not going to be able to fit. See, we have all these little, oh, there went one. I got my eye on it. We fill our lives with all these little priorities, and then we have no room for things like we've got our relationship with God, but we still have to have a relationship with others, or maybe we have a spouse, and then maybe we have kids, and well, now we have to go to work to survive. We have to have food, and then all of a sudden, all these priorities start spilling over, and they don't fit in our lives. And so when we put our smaller things first, obviously there's no room. If I spend 5 hours binge watching Netflix from 12 a.m. to 5 a.m., when am I going to sleep, right? That's the, and then the next day goes horribly. That's not necessarily a spiritual one, but that's something that I've certainly done before. Anybody else? Just kind of dove into something you shouldn't have and regretted it the next day, right? So when we fill our cup with or our lives with the larger priorities first, things like a relationship with Jesus and prayer and devotions and our family and our friends and all these other priorities that we have to live. You do. You have to have community to live. You have to have a relationship with God, right? These things we have to prioritize first. Then there's all kinds of room for these smaller stones in here. You see how they just fill in? You shake it around a little bit. They just fill in, and you've got all this room for all these other priorities. And this is a very biblical principle we're going to talk about here in a minute. But look at all that room. Now, when we do that, we place the large stones in first. We may find that there are a lot of smaller stones, right, that don't go in the container. There's a lot of little priorities left out. And that's a reality of prioritizing, right? When we put things in, when we put the important priorities first, we may have to leave out some of the lesser priorities, right? I have not gotten to go hunting since I've had children. It's been 10 years. It's just part of it. One day I'll do it again, right? But for now, I'm just not, because it's not that important. It is important if you need the food, but it's not an important priority for my life at this time. And so sometimes we may have to leave out these lesser priorities. Is that the most fun thing to do? No, of course not, right? It's way more fun to just binge watch the TV show and forget about everything else. We'll be much better off in the end if we can prioritize our lives in this way. And so the Bible speaks to this need to order our lives well. And basically, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. And if we fail to do so, we can get lost in all these lesser things that don't really matter. Have you ever been caught up in something, just consumed with something that, like, doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things? It's easy, right? It's easy to happen. It's a priority issue at heart, at the bottom of it. It's just, what are our priorities? And so as we begin this new year, and even just regularly as followers of Jesus, we need to take an honest look at our lives and consider what priorities we've put first and what things actually matter the most. So today we're going to look at three new priorities for the new year. And the first one is to seek God first. Now, Jesus' most famous sermon in the Gospels is called the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus turns to preaching and teaching about this tendency that we have to worry about everything in our lives. And maybe some of you can relate to this right now. Maybe you're worried about paying the bills, or maybe you're worried about your children, or maybe you're worried about your marriage, or what this new year might hold. Maybe 2024 wasn't so great, and maybe you feel like, what if 2025 is worse? Jesus addresses this pretty directly in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 28 through 33. Whoa, that's small back there. Can you guys read that okay? All right, good deal. It says this, "And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So, we must seek God first. You hear the language of priority that Jesus is using? He's talking about all these things that we tend to worry about. A little simpler back then, food, water, clothes. But nonetheless, he's talking about these things that we tend to prioritize. And then he tells us that when we seek life, a life that pleases God, when we seek all the things that is of God, then all these other things that we have a tendency to worry about will just fall into proper order. So how does this work for us in our lives today? Well, when it comes to, say, our marriages, when we seek the kingdom of God first, then we mature into a more gracious and loving kind of spouse, that which may in turn have a positive impact on our marriage. Or when it comes to our finances, when we seek God first, he just might reveal to us how we're spending too much on things that don't really matter. Or when it comes to our children, we seek the kingdom of God first, then God's going to give us more patience and understanding with our kids, and it's going to give them a better picture of who God is. No matter what it is, when we seek the kingdom of God first, everything else becomes easier. And so, as we think about these priorities, we need to ask ourselves some questions, like, are we seeking after the kingdom of God? Is God at the center of all the areas of your life? Are you seeking the smaller stones that don't matter as much? Or is your attention divided between the large and the small priorities? You guys remember Tom Landry, the football coach? Yeah. Somebody once asked Tom Landry, legendary coach, how he had been so successful. And he said, "In 1958, I did something everyone who has been successful must do. I determined my priorities for my life: God, family, and then football." And Tom Landry got it right. He knew that in order to succeed in our families and our careers, we must first seek God. So how do we seek God? I mean, it's a nice thing to say, right? But how do we actually do this? We seek him like we would seek anything else. We put a lot of time and energy pursuing him. Seeking God takes time. It's not a it's a marathon and not a sprint. And so we also seek God by knowing what it is we're looking for. Have you ever tried to play hide and seek with somebody you never met? Me either. I imagine it would be really hard, right? It's hard to know. It's hard to know what we're finding if we don't know what we're looking for. So how do I know what I'm looking for? Or how do I know that I've actually found God in my seeking? This is where we have to prioritize scripture and prayer. Now, I've said it probably 100 times since I've been preaching to you, but when it comes to prioritizing scripture, it's hard to know Jesus if we don't know his words, right? It's hard to know him if we don't know what he says. And we have direct access to words that are quoted of Jesus in the New Testament. So we have to prioritize the reading of the words of Jesus. This is something you can do every single day of your life. And guess what? The more that you do this, the better you will know Jesus. It's easy to know and recognize Jesus when we know what Jesus has to say. Now, the other part of this is prioritizing prayer. Right? How do I know when I've found God, or how do I know what I'm looking for? Scripture, then prayer. The other way that we can know God and in turn seek his kingdom is through relationship with him. So through talking and listening to God. If we know him personally, it will be much easier to prioritize seeking his kingdom. And so when I seek God, I'm looking to do things in my life that shape me into someone who looks like Jesus. Loving, patient, kind, courageous, sacrificial. Now, the only way that we make the effort to seek God is by first deciding to love him more than anything else. Right? By prioritizing that the most important part of our lives is God. And this brings us to our second priority, which is love God with all you have. Sorry, I'm just sick all the time now. Anybody else? Anybody else just keeps cycling through? Yeah, good stuff. So, love God with all you have. We see Jesus speak directly on this matter as well later on in Matthew. In fact, there's a moment in the Gospels when the Pharisees and the Sadducees try and trap Jesus by asking him a question about priorities. As he's traveling along, and he's cornered by this lawyer who asks him a pretty tough question. It's in Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. It says this: hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." So, first off, we see this guy ask a question, and really, it's a question of priority, right? He says, what is the greatest commandment? Or another way of this is, Jesus, what should I have as my top priority? And Jesus quotes a command from the Old Testament, and he tells him to love God with all his heart and soul and mind. This is Jesus' way of telling him to love God above everything. So how can you tell when you love someone or something? The easiest way to tell is that you talk about them all the time, because they're always on your heart and mind. When a couple falls in love, you know, everybody else goes, that kind of thing, right? It's sickening how much they talk about each other. And when someone really loves their sports team, they bring it up all the time. The same thing should be true of God if he is our top priority. When we love him with all we have, we can't stop talking about him. It's a regular topic of conversation. We'll look for ways to bring him up to others. So loving God with all our heart and soul and mind helps us realize that every part of our life is meaningful, right? If we put God first and he's over every area of our life, that means that every area of our life now has deep meaning, not just here at church or when I'm reading my Bible or when I'm praying. Everything we do has deep meaning because God is at the top, at the center of it. This means that how we handle our relationships is really more to say of how we have a relationship with Jesus, or it means how we parent is a reflection of our relationship to Jesus, or our love for God should be what motivates and inspires all of our decisions every day over this next year. I know we're 5 days late, but you could still get 360 days of this in. What would it be like to look back in 360 days from now and recognize all the ways that we decided to love God with all we have? This is what I've found. God wants to meet all of our needs, but our priorities have to be in line with his. If we're putting these smaller stones before the larger ones, we can't fully receive what God has for us. If we're loving our social life more than our relationship with God, or if we're putting work and money before the mission of the kingdom, it's going to be very hard for our hearts to align with the heart of God. Now notice how Jesus ends this conversation. In verse 40, he tells the man that the first and greatest commandment is to love God, but the second is just like it. We are to love our neighbor. It seems that unless we get God right first, right, we have to love God first, we have no hope of loving our neighbor well. So there's a prioritization here that God lays out for us in this passage. And then in verse 40, he says, all of the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. They're the big rocks, right? The rest are all small stones. We can't get them out of order. Number three, we need eternal focus. Focus on the eternal rather than the temporary. One easy way to know where to put our energies this year is by asking a simple question. Is this thing eternal or is this thing temporary? So to spend our time focusing on serving others is to focus on their eternal souls. On the contrary, to spend our time focusing on building a massive retirement account is to focus on something that we cannot take when this life is over. So, which one is better? I would argue that the eternal one is. And the Apostle Paul understood this important distinction as well as he wrote the early church in Corinth. Verses 4, 6, or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 says this. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So Paul says that we really should not spend all of our time focused on what is seen rather than what is unseen or eternal. These things that we can see, right, will all one day pass away. Everything that we encounter physically is fleeting, right? Just drive through the neighborhood you grew up in and look how different it is. You know, everything that you know changes. It's all going to be something different at one point. The things that are unseen, those are going to go on forever. So which is easier to spend our energies on? Well, in my experience, the things that we see are easier to spend our energy on because they're the more obvious one. We can see and touch them, right? If I go and spend money on something that I want in a store, I've done something physically to earn the money. I take the money to the store and I can physically hold what I'm buying. That's something that's pretty justifiable to spend energy on because I can see and touch and feel it. This means it takes a more intentional effort to prioritize the things of God. It's easy to think about things that we can see and place importance on them. It's easy to take a prioritized relationship and a connection with Jesus to prioritize things that are eternal. And this has been a problem for a long time. Back in 1386 in Milan, Italy, they started construction on the Cathedral of Milan. Now it's got three main, there's a bunch of doors and windows, but the three main ones in the middle, they have inscriptions on them spanning over the arches. Over one door is carved this wreath of roses, and underneath it, it says, all that which pleases is but for a moment. The other door is sculpted a cross, and the words under that are, all that troubles us is but for a moment. But underneath the big door, the central door, and it goes into the main aisle of the cathedral that you're looking down in the picture, it says, it's got an inscription that says, that only is important which is eternal. That only is important which is eternal. So if we can commit these truths to heart, this whole concept of new priorities would be much simpler. If something good is happening or something pleasing is happening to us, great. It's only temporary. And if something bad or tough is happening, well, great. It's only temporary. Whatever is important in my life is what's going to carry over into eternity. So those things should probably be at the top of the priority list, right? Or those should be the largest stones, if you will. So as we go through this series and get into a new year, I want to encourage you to think about these things and bring them before God in prayer. What in your life needs to be reordered? What are you placing importance on that could be reprioritized? Make sure the things that receive your time and attention and energy and affection are things that are going to last forever. Souls, right? People. This week, I would challenge you to pray and ask God to show what the big stones of your life are supposed to be. Place those on the schedule first, and the little stones need to come next as a secondary priority, right? In the passage, God says, we know you need all these things, right? The pagans chase after this. God, your Father, knows you need these things. It's not say, let's forsake the things that we need. Say, put God on the list first and let all the other needs fall into place. So if our priorities are centered around God, he'll make a way for everything else to work out according to his plan. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you for direct instruction on priorities. It's so nice to be able to read your word and hear your thoughts and see your heart around what it is that we're supposed to be doing and how we can live a better life in your plan. God, as this year opens up in front of us, we just ask that you would be with us, that we would put you at the center of everything that we do, that our priorities would change into things that are eternal. God, that we would seek your kingdom first, that we would love you with all we have, and that we would have that eternal focus. We ask you for forgiveness, and we want to repent when we've prioritized things in the wrong order. Help us to live a life that it puts you in the center. We can only do that through the help of your grace and the Holy Spirit. So we just want to lean on that. We want to live in your grace, live transformed by the Holy Spirit, and just bring that grace to others. That's what eternity is about. So we just ask for your help in reprioritizing this year. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you heard God speak to you today and you'd like to respond, we have altars here. They're always open. It's a great place to come and pray. If you'd stand with us, we're going to sing a song together. The worship team's going to lead us in one last song. Just use these next few moments to reflect and to really just listen to what God has to say.